So like Holden just went to the book fair and he bought one book that's an actual book. And then he bought some book that obviously just had a toy in it.
Yeah, yeah. They all have toys in the school book fairs. They're not fools.
Right. And Andrew was like, do you really want to learn about chameleons or did you just want this chameleon toy?
Right.
And he didn't even respond. It's like silence. He has not opened that book once.
But he's played with the toy. Howdy, it's Friday, March 6, 2026, and this is episode 274 of Due for a Win, the Atlantic City podcast. I'm Kyle Eskin, joined, as always, by Craig Stone. What's good, Craig?
Timely editing and posting of the podcast, I think, is a very good thing that we've done consistently.
Yeah, that's right.
I listened back to the last episode, and the what's good was the U.S. women's hockey team. And that episode didn't get posted until like a week after the Olympics ended, and the men's hockey team had also won gold, so...
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Greatest hockey nation in the world, obviously.
Yeah, obviously the best.
Yeah, so that's good. Before we get to Always Once Never, which apparently we're bringing back Always Once Never now.
All right.
We need to preface this with a question from mailbag legend Lou D.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Kyle frequently mentions the olds when talking about casinos. At what age does one join the olds? And has that cutoff increased in the 10 years of the podcast? 30 years ago, 55 seemed ancient. Now it doesn't seem so old. Yeah, I mean, 30 years ago, I thought 19 was ancient. So certainly when I was 12, 55 seemed very, very old. This is funny to me because I had this same thought. When we first started going to AC, or when I first started going to AC, I would have said the olds were like anyone
us.
55 and over. I wouldn't have said we're the olds. We did make jokes early in the show about being old when we were like in our mid-30s.
Right. When you were getting carded every time you went to the casino.
Yes, right.
It's been a while since you've been carded, as far as I know, unless you've been keeping it to yourself.
I did get carded at the cage at Caesars, I think, a couple of trips ago. So that has happened, which is crazy. Like 21-year-olds look very young, I'll say. But in their defense, and getting it back to the olds thing, the average age of consumers in an Atlantic City casino is so old that I look, by comparison, extremely young. So when you say the olds, what do you think the olds are? What's the age cutoff?
It's not an age necessarily. I think it's more of like a state of being. You know, I think you can be an old at 55, but
yeah.
Like certainly I'd say the vast majority of 55-year-olds are not the olds. Like they say in the song, age is just a number. It's more of how you present yourself, how you move around, what sort of insane shit you're saying when you're talking. Like that's really what makes the olds, I think.
Do you have an oxygen tank?
Right.
Are you in a Rascal scooter?
Yeah, yeah. Arguably, you know, if you're 40 and in a Rascal, maybe you're an old.
Do we have any friends who are our age who are olds?
If the answer was yes, would I answer it on the podcast? Probably not. But
I don't think we do. But, I mean, I will say, certainly when I started going to AC, I would have said, anyone who's 60 is in the olds. And now I don't think I'd say that. You know, if you're 60 and you're getting around, fine. You're, A, fitting right in with the Atlantic City clientele. I mean, you probably seem young and spry compared to the rest of the people at, say, resorts or Golden
resorts,
Nugget.
Resorts, yeah. Resorts 100%.
Here's a follow-up to that. Does what you would call the olds change depending on what casino you're in?
Yeah, maybe.
Is someone who's an old at Borgata, do they go to resorts and suddenly it's like, oh, wow, this is the most attractive young person at the resort?
Or you see someone who's like 22 in Harrah's and you're like, that person's really old.
Maybe.
It's been a while since we've made a Harrah's joke on the podcast, but
well, I mean, the last time we were at all teenagers cheerleader competition thing, that makes it sound like we went out of our way to go watch the competition, and that's not true. We were at Tropicana while there was a New Jersey State cheerleader competition going on.
I don't think I was there for this.
And just because we happened to end up in the auditorium watching, that was at Tropicana, not at Harrah's. But yeah, Harrah's is definitely. For a long time was like the home for any sort of sports youth.
It was like all people going to the clubs or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
Oh, that too. Yeah. You know, there's a bunch of young people going to the pool after dark.
Yeah, so I think it does vary based on casino is the answer. Yes.
So bringing it all the way to Would You Rather, this was a long, long journey. Liu D says, I met the Wynn in Las Vegas when he emailed this, which was probably a month ago. And there was a convention of finance bros here.
I mean, that's truly the only people under 55 who can afford being at Wynn, but go ahead.
That's true. But that ended, and families with kids have started coming in for President's Day weekend. Not sure if this is an always, once, never, or a would-you-rather segment, but on future AC trips, would you rather be surrounded entirely by families with kids, and your families are at home, bros, whether they be finance, tech, gym, etc., or the olds? So I think for a would-you-rather, this is too easy.
This seems pretty easy to me.
The would-you-rather is just the olds, right?
Yeah, yeah. The always is just the old, right?
So the always is the old. So we're going to do this as always, once, never. So what's the once and the never between families with kids and any sort of bros? And I think the key here is surrounded. I don't mind seeing one family or a couple of, even if you've got a family reunion and it's 10 families and you got a bunch of, like, that doesn't really bother me.
In general, speaking, not concretely, just abstractly, I feel like I give more leeway towards families because it's kind of not their fault that they're annoying.
Yeah.
In the same way, like, you can't say that about the bros, right? But families are pretty annoying, too. So it's close.
Certainly a lot of people in the Facebook groups will say, like, why are you even bringing your family to AC? This isn't really a family place.
Those people are annoying, too. But yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't really have a problem with the families. Honestly, good for you for getting out of the house. If you're just surrounded, if it's, I don't know, the summer at... what's a very family-centric hotel? Tropicana, maybe?
Showboat.
Yeah, Showboat. And it's just families everywhere, and you're trying to be drunk and gamble, and it's 11:30 at night, and there's still just families all over the place. I will say that's pretty annoying. Similarly, one group of bros at the craps table being loud is kind of its own entertainment, because you can just laugh at them. But if it's like a whole convention of bros, I think that would be tough. I will say I'm playing mostly games that bros don't play. I'm playing games that the olds play.
I mean, it's a different demographic of the games I usually play or whatever that are none of... I mean, it's kind of the olds, but...
Craps is the bros' game of choice. Craps and blackjack.
Yeah, craps 100% and blackjack are 100% the bros' games of choice. And, you know, I think bros like some carnival games every once in a while, too. But certainly there's never been a bro at a tiles table, so I'm pretty safe from them.
Yeah. I don't think the bros play a ton of video poker either. They definitely are not playing a bunch of penny slots. So let's take it to personal experience. Have you ever been at a craps table that's just full of bros?
I mean, I don't think I would go to a craps table that was full of bros, so...
You've never been playing at a craps table and the bros have just descended?
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way it would happen, right? I would have to already be there, and then, you know, I mean, if the rolls are going well, I'm not going to leave necessarily, but I can't remember ever having an experience that's so unpleasant because of bros at the craps table. Frankly, like, the olds can be more annoying because they're the ones that are more apt to get caught up on, like, the dice accidentally become seven, and then you throw them, and then an old will, like, absolutely lose their mind and be like, you made that seven out because you weren't paying attention to the dice.
Yeah, I think maybe we've dismissed the olds too quickly as the always, because think about the overall experience.
And certainly at a blackjack table, who's going to, like, be incredibly pissed off and aggressive with you because you've hit 12 against a 2 and be like, I can't believe you've done that. You've ruined the game for everyone. It's going to be an old, right?
Or a bro, potentially.
Yeah. The good thing about bros, as annoying as they are, is often, especially like finance bros, you would think would be a bit more sensible about actually knowing the rules and what's good and what's not good.
That's true.
Whereas the olds have been doing their thing for 50 years and they're just not going to hit 12 against 2, no matter what the book says.
So, I mean, the other thing about the olds that I'll say is if you're at resorts on a Saturday in the summer and for some reason it's just absolutely crowded, I don't know, there's a Jimmy Buffett tribute band playing or something, and it's packed, the whole experience is just going to get slowed down, right? You're not going to be able to get any of the slots you want. Anytime you want to go to the food court, it's going to take forever. Anytime you want to go to the Dunkin', there's going to be 10 Rascal Scooters in line. Maybe that's going to actually make your experience significantly worse than being around the bros and the families. The families do slow things down too, though.
But they're presumably not gambling, so it doesn't really impact me that much.
That's true.
So I think families are fine. Here's the thing. I think Atlantic City is special because of the fact that it's New York, New Jersey. And I think that type of bro is like a very special type of bro that we don't have around where I live, necessarily. It's like lax bros down here, I guess. But somehow I find them a bit more tolerable than the like orange bros that are kind of up there. I don't know.
So are you going never with the bros?
Individually, they can be, like, quite pleasant and, like, you'd have, like, a very nice conversation with them or whatever. It's like when there's a group of them that is just, like, a huge nightmare, right?
Yeah, I think either of these things, any of these things are, like, in individual encounters are not terrible.
I mean, I think the most apt to have, like, a bad individual encounter with is an old 100%.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just because, like I said, they'll just be like, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're talking about. I've done this for 50 years. Don't talk to me. You know what you're saying or whatever. It's just like...
Do you think the olds would say never for the under 40 crowd?
I think the old would say never to both bros and families and kids, and, you know, kids being people who are under 25. And
I think I'm still sticking with always for the olds, just because I don't think it's much of a stretch from what Atlantic City is now.
Right.
I think just if you have to be totally surrounded by one or the other, the nice thing is it's once, right? You only have to deal with this one time, which odds are we will end up in Atlantic City one time with each of these things. I don't know. I think if just total New York, New Jersey bros were everywhere, it would not be a great experience.
It's not the best.
Whereas, like, I think if it was just families everywhere, like, okay, I have a family. That's not what I want to be thinking about when I'm in Atlantic City. My family, please.
You know, I spend time in the casino in Atlantic City, and, like, presumably families with kids cannot be surrounding you at all times in the casinos. It's right. Just not legal. So, I don't know. Let's say that we live in a world where that is possible. That would be pretty bad.
Yeah.
You imagine shooting some craps or playing some tiles, and there's, like, kids running around screaming. That would be bad. That would be bad. I'll say the olds always, bros once, and families with kids never. But in real life, families with kids cannot be surrounding you, so it's, like, a bit moot, I think.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you're in the common area,
the food court or whatever. Yeah.
Families everywhere.
I mean, I don't spend a ton of time there, though. So, but yes, if I were at a nice restaurant, again, families with kids wouldn't be running around the Nobu, right?
They would in this scenario.
Yeah. No, that would be bad. I'll stick. Families with kids never. Bros once. The olds always. It's tough. It's closer than I thought it was going to be when I started talking about this question.
You sort of talked me into bros as the never, because coming into this, I felt bad about it, but I was 100% on families with kids as the never. Which, to be clear, if you have a family with kids, I don't care if you go to Atlantic City. More power to you.
Yeah, you should, frankly. Like, it's a cool place to go. Yeah.
There's plenty of things to do, but if I have to be surrounded by them and it's just me without my kids, I don't want to be around a ton of families. Like, if you have your 100 family, 500 person family reunion at the Harrah's, let me know ahead of time and I won't go that weekend. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think we're both on the same page there. I thought that was a very funny question, though, even, you know.
That was a good question. Excellent question.
If only for leading to conversation about the various groups of people who go to Atlantic City.
Yep. Thank you so much, Ludi. Not an old Ludi, so thank you.
He has another question that's an always once never, but it's like the always once never to end always all always once nevers, which you thought you had previously.
Yeah. All right. I'm excited.
We've resurrected it.
We'll have to see it next episode.
So you had teased in the last episode, which only came out like 3 days ago, that you had some further thoughts about Nobu that you needed to dive into more detail about. Nobu the hotel, not Nobu the restaurant.
Yeah, no, Nobu the restaurant's great. You should go. So I've thought a bunch about, you know, I was thinking a lot about it, frankly, when I was in Atlantic City. What are my real thoughts on the Nobu Hotel and, like, how well does it work? So I stand by what I said last episode. I think it is the nicest, quote-unquote, base room, as much as it is a base room. Have you tried, by the way, putting us both as companions to see if we can get Nobu comped? I have not.
No.
So my sense is that they do not comp it for our level of play. They just have a floor of $79 or $89 or whatever it is during the week for us right now.
Which is still cheap if you're going midweek. Although I guess it ends up being like $140 or something after all the taxes and fees.
Right. I was thinking about the Nobu last time I was there. And, like, how good really is this? What do I think really about the hotel? So it is very nice. Like I said, I really enjoyed the finishes. They had very nice teas in the room, a nice kettle. They had a very nice coffee machine in the room as well. I think a couple levels up from what you likely had in your room. I don't know. It was like one of the capsule ones with the very small capsules. I don't know if it's Nespresso or Illy or whatever.
Sounds like Nespresso.
Yeah, I think it might be Nespresso.
That's what I had in my Conrad New York downtown hotel last weekend. Anyways, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. The finishes were definitely appreciated. They had like a little green tea chocolate bar sitting in the room waiting for you as well when you check in, which is like, again, very nice. There's a lot of nice things to say about it. Certainly when I did the checkout, because as I talked about last episode, I did not utilize it checking in. Going to the 7 stars room to check out, 7-star/Nobu room, I guess, is also very pleasant. How does it work, though, putting this quote-unquote nice hotel inside a Caesars? And I had a couple problems during the trip, which I got into a little bit with you, I think, on the trip, but we didn't talk about last episode. So one thing, when I checked in, they're like, you're going to get turndown service tonight. So if you don't want people in your room, you need to turn on Do Not Disturb. And I'm like, that's really nice. Certainly no casino I've ever been to has offered turndown service. That sounds pleasant. I'm excited to see what they do. Excited to see what sort of little treats they leave in the room like they usually do during turndown service. And, you know, as I mentioned to you, I just didn't get turndown service. service. It was a lie, so.
And you did not have Do Not Disturb on.
I did not have Do Not Disturb on. I very specifically left it off so that they could give me turndown service because I was excited to see what it involved at the Nobu Hotel. So, obviously a bad situation. And so I actually went down to the lobby and I was going to be like, yo, I didn't get turndown service. Am I supposed to get turndown service or not? Just FYI. So basically I got down there, the Nobu check-in at this point, this was after the hook, was closed, and so I went to the normal line, and there's one person, of course, working the front desk at Caesars, and so it was just, I'm not waiting in line for 15 minutes to, like, talk about this. I tried calling the housekeeping line as well, no one picked up, and so I think a lot of the problems of the Nobu Hotel is that it's trying to have this nice experience, but you're using all of the infrastructure and, like, the piping of this larger property that it's inside, which is Caesars.
Which is not a well-run place.
You're never going to actually get a luxury experience there.
That's a really good point.
So what makes the really luxury experience luxury? All the little things that they do right, and the real thing that separates luxury from just something that's generically nice is, you know, when you need service or when you interact with people, it's going to be a very pleasant experience. And you're just not going to get that at Caesars. Never. So it's really hard to have this real luxury idea and put it inside of a Caesars where you're going to have to use a lot of the Caesars infrastructure, like Caesars front desk, Caesars, well, as it turns out, like the week before we went, Caesars HVAC, which just wasn't working, Caesars whatever. So I really enjoyed my Nobu experience still, I think even without the turndown service and the hiccups, which is just because it is inside and directly linked to the Caesars in so many ways. You know, I still think it's the nicest room, kind of base level non-suite room in AC that I've stayed in. But I'm going to say I wouldn't look towards the future of this as being a good thing. Probably the best time to go to the Nobu Hotel was when it first opened a couple years ago. The second best time is right now. And then, like, in the future, it's just going to keep getting more and more shitified, I'm sure, as Caesars puts its tentacles more into it.
Okay, so I have a few thoughts. First of all, you mentioned companion pricing.
Mm-hmm.
When it's just me logged in, I get some weeknights 72, which is what we were seeing in February.
Yep.
When I added you as companion, those nights go to 82. So how about that? My rates at the other properties don't change, and I go from, at Caesars on this Friday, for example, I go from 100 something to comp.
Right.
But yeah, Nobu actually goes up.
So I think, like I said, I think it sounds like there's just a baseline, and it's like, we are not comping these rooms to players unless you're quite a high level player.
Yeah, I agree. I think you kind of lucked into that comp.
I think it was just a bug in the system, because as we've talked about since like episode 3, the Caesar system sucks and you just get random results all the time, which worked out in my favor this time.
Would you ever pay the 72 to stay at Nobu?
Maybe. I think it's possible. Like, if I were going with my wife, I would, I think.
Would you prepare her ahead of time with the knowledge that it's Caesar's staff and Caesar's infrastructure? And
I don't even have to, you know, like, it doesn't have to be something that you build up beforehand, because you're only going to get disappointment then, I think, surely, because it's Caesar's, right? Just, you know, you go there and like, oh, this is nicer than I was expecting or whatever. And, you know, you move on from there.
So do you think they could fix this by having some sort of dedicated, I feel like they only need like one person extra, right?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, if I pick up and call the front desk or call housekeeping, in a perfect world, that would go to some Nobu line and not to the normal Caesars shit line with the shit Caesars employees. But
bringing that to Vegas, I stayed at Wynn, the last Vegas trip. They do an incredible job of everything's immaculate. It just feels like a nicer property overall. And also, the service is amazing, right? So the yes, the service was all Caesars service, which is not the best. So that's a start. But also, like, you come out of the Centurion Tower elevators, because that's where the Nobu rooms are, and you're in Caesars. So the hotel is still Caesars. So the hotel is not matching the Nobu experience. So I feel like it also needs almost like a Nobu-themed casino area or something to bring it together. Now we're really getting into capital dollars.
But I don't know about that. Yeah, no, I think that's too much.
I think you care less about that.
Right.
The rest of that stuff than others who are really into the whole casino experience and the whole resort experience and everything. The other thing that I thought about, because when you said it was the nicest room you've been in, which I think was praise that you also gave to the MGM Tower the first time we stayed at the MGM Tower.
It took over that spot from the MGM Tower.
I personally think the MGM Tower, with its separate check-in...
Oh, the lobby is extremely nice for the MGM Tower. Yeah, I will agree.
And the fact that it's in Borgata and it just has the Borgata infrastructure and service.
Right, which is notably much better than the Caesars.
Makes me feel like the MGM Tower is a higher tier of room class and luxury than Nobu. but I didn't stay in the room.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you agree that if you're picking between the two for like just a luxury experience, would you say that overall MGM Tower is more luxurious, or do you think just being in the more exclusive Nobu thing is just a notch above?
It depends on what you want. Like I said, just like the nice coffee maker, the nice tea kettle, the very nice little teacups. You know, for me, like, I've been to Japan, I've stayed in nice hotels there or whatever, and it's, like, very much like what you would see there. You know, there's just not those touches in the MGM Tower. But, as you say, the lobby of the MGM Tower is very nice. You ride the elevator down, and you're in, like, the conference hall in Caesars from the Nobu Tower, right?
Right.
Wherever that terrible elevator takes you in Centurion. Or, as you found out, if you make a terrible mistake and go to one, it just spits you out in an alley. So.
Yeah. That's a fun alley to be on, let me tell you. I guess the follow-up to that is, say you're going with your wife, Tacy, and you have your pick of Borgata, MGM Tower, or Nobu, but you're in Caesars for the same price. Which one are you picking?
I mean, I think it depends. I think my wife kind of likes being on the boardwalk.
So does mine.
Yeah. If we were only going to stay on property the whole time, probably Borgata, but realistically, I don't think we would.
Yeah, honestly, unless we had a show at Borgata, and this is really, I think, a testament to how nice Borgata is that it's even a consideration. Mm-hmm. Unless we had show tickets at Borgata, in my head I'd be like, yeah, we're staying at MGM Tower, it's so nice, Borgata is such a great casino. And then if I told my wife, like, oh yeah, I booked, we're at MGM Tower at Borgata, I think she'd be like, oh, I want to be on the boardwalk.
Yeah, your wife doesn't gamble too. Like, my wife does gamble, so it's not as big of a deal for us to be in Borgata the whole time, I feel like.
Oh yeah, yeah.
As far as I know, like, your wife really doesn't gamble.
No,
so
she'll put $20
nothing for her to do
machine
in Borgata.
Yeah, I think she would be annoyed unless there was some other entertainment reason that we were at Borgata and we had, you know, dinner reservations, which we've done. But no, she would definitely prefer to be on the boardwalk and have the ability to, you know, go to the outlets, go to other places, which you, I don't know if you know this, you can't do those things if you're staying marina side. It's against the law. They won't let you go through
it
that
is.
Tunnel.
That's right.
Or call no, a cab.
It's one way. You go through, like, the tunnel under whatever, Baccarat Boulevard, and it's like you can only come back when you're leaving AC. That's the only time.
Yeah, if you want to come back, you actually have to go out the AC Expressway and leave Atlantic County before you can turn back around and come back.
Let me tell you, I have accidentally gone up the AC Expressway when I was not trying to, so it does happen.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a while before you can turn around.
I think everybody's done that at some point.
Sometime I need to go to, like, the AC Welcome Center or whatever that I don't even think is open
anymore.
No,
that's been closed for a long time.
Yeah, but, you know, I should just stop and see it. By the time I get there, I'm like, oh, I'm so close to AC, I gotta go.
Yeah, so it's been closed for a long time, and somebody posted on Reddit, like, a year ago, that they stopped at the AC Welcome Center and went in, and there was nobody working there, and it looked like it was all run down. Like, yes, it's been closed forever. How did you get in? So I don't know if that was a real story or not, but I did find it very funny.
I should try it.
Just try it. There's usually a cop car parked there, so.
It's fine.
I know, because I always have to slow down, because usually at that point I have to pee, and I'm so close to Atlantic City, so I'm probably going a little faster than the speed limit.
Well, the AC Welcome Center also has a Shell station.
It does.
Whatever, right?
Yeah, it does have a gas station, so.
Yeah. Good times. All right, so we both agree we would stay in probably Nobu Tower with our wives. Though it would be closer, I think, for me than you, because my wife does gamble. Although last time me and my wife stayed at Borgata, the bean dealer almost made my wife cry when she was accusing her of cheating because she raised her bet from 10 to 15 while we were both playing on my card, which she declared was illegal, which was still an absolutely infuriating experience.
Right. And usually our dealer experiences at Borgata are so good. And the funny thing is, I think what my wife would really prefer is Ocean, just for overall experience, niceness, being able to see the ocean and all the other stuff that Ocean has, especially now that they've opened the mini golf course and all the other stuff there. But I would even go as far as to say if the options were Centurion Tower at Caesars or MGM Tower, she would still prefer to be on the boardwalk and be in the Centurion Tower.
Yeah.
I don't know how low I could go. I think if we got to, like, Havana Tower at Trop, then we'd go to Borgata.
Your wife doesn't gamble, so what is there at Borgata for her?
Food.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, we would just take a cab to the outlets and stuff.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I mean, you could do that, yeah. I mean, that's what it would have to be, though. You would just be cabbing off property.
Right. You know, any happy hour that you want to do, you're cabbing off property. Right. So it's very nice to just be able to walk out to Angelini's Club Madrid, to walk to any restaurant you want to go to. Borgata very much feels like you're in Borg, and that's that. Whereas Harrah's and Nugget, you got the nice walkway between the two. So you have both Harrah's and Nugget to be able to not get food at either when everything's closed, so.
That's right. It's just incredible that you get all of the amenities of Harrah's and Nugget together.
Yeah. Which combined give you zero amenities.
The best in AC.
Yeah.
When are we going?
I thought we decided late April.
Late April? All right. Late April.
Yeah, let's talk.
Get it on the calendar.
Yeah. Our friends have briefly been talking about going to Vegas, and then that conversation,
you said,
got,
they've dropped it,
totally curtailed. So the surprise announcement, and maybe even more surprising, friend interest in the Metallica concerts at the Sphere came about in our group chat, and then all the Metallica concerts sold out in about a minute on presale. Like, the queue was just insane. It seems like there's still some interest in going to Metallica at the Sphere. I would like to go to something at the Sphere, but it won't be Metallica. But I think the difficulty of it has totally curbed that conversation. So that was disappointing, because I was like, oh, an excuse. Let's go. I don't actually want to go to Metallica, but I'll go meet everybody out there. So we'll see what happens with that. I expect, you know, since this is a Vegas podcast now, I have to go into detail about it. I expect what happened with the Backstreet Boys will happen with Metallica, which is the Backstreet Boys originally announced a 1-month thing in July of 2025, and they have kept announcing shows, and they just announced shows all the way through July of 2026. So their 1-month thing has now become a 1-year thing, and I'm guessing Metallica, they said they're going to add 6 more shows already, and I'm guessing that they're just going to keep going as long as it's making tons of money, which it probably will.
Yeah.
Seems like a bigger draw than No Doubt at the Sphere, which is the other Sphere music act that has been announced.
No Doubt's fine.
I would go see that before Metallica.
Oh, no, that's, I wouldn't say they're better than Metallica, but, you know, No Doubt's fine.
I didn't say better, to be clear. I went back and listened to some No Doubt the other day. Whew, a lot of that stuff does not hold up. I mean, it's so, like, ska, for one thing, which is kind of,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
the old
it's
stuff
very,
is ska.
Very 90s. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they just went full into, like, whatever the hottest pop alternative style, and then they had, like, a rap alternative phase later on in the early 2000s. That stuff, that was very, very popular, their songs at the time. I don't know if they're their biggest hits or not, but, oh boy, does that stuff suck. But I'm guessing, you know, they could probably put together a really good set of just the hits, right? But I don't need to see that at the Sphere. Or at the Ocean's Calling Festival in Ocean City, New Jersey. Not that they're going to be there, but it's a bunch of, like, 90s bands. And that's what our friends are doing instead of going to Vegas, which I cannot condone.
Nope, that sounds way worse.
All of this was just a way to segue into beach concerts, because Ocean's Calling in Ocean City, New Jersey is a beach concert. And Atlantic City, after having no beach concerts in 2025, has finally announced a beach concert that is Saturday, August 29th, which you and I, we always complain, why are they Saturdays?
In the summer, yep.
Grammy award-winning Australian electronic dance band Rufus du Sol has been announced.
Never heard of them.
Tickets are $85, but it's on Ticketmaster, so that actually means they're $112.74. You love this band, right?
Yeah, yeah, my favorite.
I went on YouTube late last night to try to listen to them, like a set that they did in Joshua Tree or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't on the right drugs.
Mm.
One of the songs, I was like, this is pretty good, but everything else is slow and, like, slow building.
Slow?
And
I thought it was EDM or whatever.
Right, so it's not really pumping, fist-pumping EDM. It's more, like, almost atmospheric stuff, which...
Sounds interesting.
Is interesting and might be fun, but...
I mean, I'm not paying $112.
Yes, I'm not paying $112 to stand out on the
beach. More importantly, like, standing with 50,000 other people. That's really the big downside.
Right, which is also why I have no interest in going to Ocean's right. Calling, besides it being in Ocean City, Maryland, which I don't need to go to ever. But I don't want to go to some festival with 100,000 people.
It's like the Atlantic City of Maryland. It's great.
It's too crowded.
It's very crowded. I mean, I think the demographics are kind of similar for... It's like a bit of a, like, lower class beach hangout.
How dare you?
Quite different from Ocean City, New Jersey,
right,
which is not that way at all.
Rich families. I loved Ocean City, Maryland when I was a kid. It was a magical place. I'm sure I would still like it, but it's so far from here that I don't really want to do it.
Yeah.
One thing I thought while listening to this atmospheric concert, while not high enough, was it should be at night. Like, it feels like it needs
it should
to
be
at night or in the evening.
It should be at
so
night.
I don't know if it will be.
I mean, for one thing, like, who wants to stand out in the middle of August on the beach during the day?
Let's see. Oh, it is at 7:30 p.m.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Good, good, good.
Good choice.
Excellent choice.
I mean, it would probably be really cool, I have to say. If you think this sounds like something you might be interested in, go find their Joshua Tree concert and watch it. I only made it halfway through, even though it was only like 35 minutes long, but could be a good time.
All right. And I guess to close out the podcast, we have some data from January, even though it's March.
It's March 6th. The new data comes out in a week. We also only posted one episode in February, which is very disappointing. We'll have to make it up.
Surely we recorded a couple episodes.
We did,
though, right?
Correct. Yeah. We did. Anyways, January data.
We should have a 4-episode month in March then, right?
4 episodes. I don't know. Let's not get carried away.
Because we're going to be recording this one and then 2 more.
Yeah, we'll record 4.
All right.
People don't need to know this behind the scenes stuff. So
all right.
What happened in January? We said it was going to be horrible because of all the snow.
Yeah, it's surprisingly okay, which is weird given how terrible the weather was,
right? It was awful. It was so, so cold, even when it was not snowing.
I thought it was going to be a bloodbath.
Me too.
But it's fine.
Only one casino under 10?
Yeah, up 1.55% for the month, which is, yeah, decent given how awful the weather was. Truly, like, the worst month of weather in a long time that I can remember, at least during the winter.
It was a 5-Saturday month, so you do have the caveat. So I wouldn't actually say it's really up, because I think that we would normally expect a few percent increase because of the extra Saturday. But you're right. I thought it was going to be absolutely awful. Golden Nugget was the only casino under 10. I thought we were going to get Golden Nugget and Resorts, or Bally's for sure under 10, and maybe even Resorts, but that did not happen. 5 of the 9 casinos were up year over year. Hard Rock up 20%, 21%.
That's luck-based.
Right, yeah, I mean, it has to be. Caesars up 8%, which is very surprising, I'm assuming, also with some luck, because certainly that's not the trajectory that Caesars has been on at all. Bally's was up 3.7 and Resorts was up 2, which I think is probably more in line with what you'd expect with the extra Saturday.
I think Caesars luck was only okay, but I mean, they had like a $13.5 million month last year, which just seems like atrocious luck.
Yeah, so, that's awful.
I mean, it's still down like 10% from their 2024. So
yeah, Ocean basically even. They were up under 1%. 5 casinos up. No one was hugely down except Tropicana, down 13.8% in a month with an extra Saturday. Is pretty bad.
That was luck as well. Yeah, they had bad luck. Hard Rock and Harrah's had good luck, which is funny because Harrah's was still down 3%, which is a good sign, I think. And then I think Resorts and Trop had bad luck, which is Resorts was still up 2%, so that's good.
Yeah. Borgata down 6%, which is actually the second biggest percentage decrease year over year, but of course, still the most revenue of any casino in Atlantic City, over $50 million. I think they were about $10 million ahead of Hard Rock in second place, so.
Yep, almost 11.
Yeah, really surprising when I looked at this last night, because I thought it was going to be so much worse. And yeah. I have to say, probably a decent sign for what demand looks like going forward, just if people are willing to brave the the weather to get there. Obviously, there was another big storm in February, so we'll see what happens there. But it was not nearly as cold in February. Like, there was more snow, actually, in the February storm, but it warmed up much, much quicker. So I feel like it was less disruptive, but we'll find out. Maybe February will be what we were expecting for January.
No. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, pretty solid month, frankly, especially considering the weather. So,
I mean, we went in February, so.
We did. That was before the snow, though. So
it's going to be a crippling month for Caesars because I left with money.
I also left with money.
Actually,
I don't know if you knew this. I was actually up on our trip as well.
Wow.
So.
Caesars down 100%. They will never financially recover from this.
And they gave me a comped room to Nobu that's like just minus $1,000 off gambling revenue just because they made a mistake. That's how it works.
Not $72.
Yeah, no, $100.
$1,000.
Yeah. All right. Thank you guys so much. If you want to reach out to us or any of other listeners, you can do so at our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/doForAWin. Find all of our great content at doForAWin.com. Reach out to Craig on Twitter at doForAWin or me at Kyle Askin and send Craig questions at doForAWin@gmail.com and we will read them on air. How's our inbox?
Pretty much just need to update the resort fees, which hasn't been done in a very long time. I should really get on that. Alas.
Doesn't sound that hard.
I can't even edit the podcast, so I don't know when I'm going to do anything else related to the podcast.
That's true. There's too much Tottenham Hotspur content for you out there for be bothered with editing the podcast.
I'm fully schadenfreuding Tottenham Hotspur content, which is going to come back and bite me in the ass when Leeds get relegated instead.
Yep.
Yeah. It's going to be sad.
Very sad. Surely we're going to need some content if we're going to record twice in the next 3 weeks. So if you have questions, it's a good time to send it in.
That's true.
Should we watch a movie or something? There's always that Atlantic City movie out there that we should watch at some point and maybe do a book report on during the podcast.
We can make like a companion episode that's exactly the length of the movie where we just tell people when to pause and we start talking about it. So we do like a 2.5-hour episode.
Absolutely not.
Come on, man. You love it. Anyways.
Anyway, all right. Thank you guys very much, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks. I mean, you'll hear this in a couple weeks. I didn't even pee my pants this episode. It's so good.
See, the episode wasn't that long.